Hello and welcome back to the Flags to Hitches podcast. My name is Jay Ballamy and I'm joined again by Matt Burke. The plan was to have Lewis Phillips join us this evening, but he's otherwise engaged, so we'll press on without him. Matt, how are you?
I'm really good, mate. It's good to be back and the season's fastly approaching. So, Jay, why don't you tell us what we got going on today?
Well, it's only a small little check-in with one of our favourite people, Matt. 2023 Pink Bowl winner, 2023 Marcus Price winner, former London Flash QB, and now the new face of the London Rebels franchise, Brian Tabor. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
So, Brian, obviously, we had a good 2023 together. There was a bit of joshing backwards and forwards during the season about different results. Obviously, didn't get to play each other in the regular season, but saw each other at plenty of tournaments and had a good time in The Hague. We obviously want to talk to you about the move, and we obviously want to talk to you about some of the other stuff. But I think probably let's do a little bit on Pink Bowl, because we're going to keep teasing Pink Bowl content to people, because we definitely don't want to talk about it too much. But yeah, how was Pink Bowl? How was The Hague?
It was incredible. I mean, you know, when just going backwards to Sport Monda previously, that experience really made me kind of get that thirst for wanting to do more international tournaments. And, you know, unfortunately within the Smoke organization, there wasn't an opportunity to do another one for that year. So when Reading Devils hit me up and said, hey, you know, Tom's on GB duty, would you want to come with us? I was all in. And the team that we put together was just incredibly talented that it was stacked and I was pumped. Let's leave it at that.
Such a good line that reverberated around the flag football world, I have to say. Me and Matt went to a scout practice beforehand to help GB out, and it was the only thing that anybody could talk about for the whole time we were there. I think that was it was a good line, and it's definitely stayed with your brand the whole way through.
Yeah, and yeah, it was just such a great experience and proof that, you know, when you play with really quality players that know the game and that you can really go far without even really training together. I was just blown away by the fact that I knew we had a good team, but I didn't know that we would gel like we did so quickly. And in just a matter of a couple games, it was like everyone had been running my playbook for an entire season. And there was very little mistakes happening. Everyone was just switched on. We had so much fun. And it was really what I think Flag is all about, you know, being able to play with players like yourselves that I've known and played against in BAFA and become friends with and always look forward to meeting at a game and saying hi and how you're doing in your life outside of Flag, but never have an opportunity to actually play with. And the only way to do that is through tournament play. So it was really exciting for me to have that opportunity to play with you guys and some of the guys from Sharks. And finally, you know, of course, my great white whale, Harley. I got to throw a shout out to him because I've always wanted to throw to that kid since I see him make just most ridiculous catches all the time in every tournament that he goes to. And like, oh, I just love to throw that guy. So having those opportunities was just so fun for me. And just knowing that no matter what happens, you're never out. When you have players like that on both sides of the ball, you know, especially when it came down to that final against, you know, the French team, the Juggernauts, then you're down 13 points in a 12-minute rolling half game. And it's like, how the heck are we coming back from this? You know your defense, your offense is going to have to make a play, but you know your defense is also going to have to make a play. And I had every confidence that our defense would be able to do that if I could just get the offense rolling. And we did. And, you know, the rest is history. So yeah, it was just an unreal experience.
I don't mean to jump ahead to where we probably want to talk about it, but when over the end, or I'd say sort of the off season and success that you had last year, do you think that's played a role in inspiring you to make this change now, with obviously playing with a load of guys that you can probably bring a few in and everyone learning the playbook and sort of having command of a ship? Now you've had that starting role in a team.
It's a good question. It's not that motivated me to make the move to Rebels. I mean, I think one thing that needs to be made very clear is that I didn't want to leave Smoke. You know, I spent 2 years in that organization building a team up from where it was laughable the year before that I joined. And yes, we had a great recruitment year, but I recall, you know, the first time I listened to the First and 15 podcast when they were talking about our first game day against Reading Devils, and I quote, "I don't see how Devils don't score at least 40 points against London Flash." And I was like, "Well, I'm motivated. Let's go." And of course, they didn't know anything about it. So, you know, I spent that entire first year building up that team, and, you know, then of course the next year building up that team, and no one is you know, really was a bigger fan of that team than me. I mean, I purchased more of the team gear than anybody in that club other than Charlie. So, and I remember, you know, he told me that his wife saw some guy walking down Fulham High Street in a bright orange shirt saying London Flash, and Charlie goes, "Yeah, that's Brian." So, I mean, I was rocking the gear all the time, very proud member of the team. But unfortunately, you know, there were just some issues that, even though I thought they were reasonable and we could work out, they just, you know, it wasn't to be. And that kind of led me to have to make the decision that I just wasn't going to be able to be part of that organization any further.
And obviously, you look back at your time quite fondly with Smoke. Is there anything you feel like you'd have done different? At least this was like a proper interview question, isn't it? It's almost like you're trying to get a job. Is there anything you would have done differently as part of that journey? Is there any, you know, any sort of pieces of advice you'd probably give players, not necessarily at that organization, but just in future, that are going through similar things where they're not quite sure, or they're having little bits of tension? Is there anything you would have done differently, and actually in retrospect you would have changed?
No, because, you know, I've always wanted to improve, and maybe that was kind of my downfall. One of the issues I had with that organization was I was asking for more time with the better players, and they didn't want to give it to me. You know, and it's when you play with these elite players in tournaments, and you see what you can do, and you have those kind of weapons around you, and then you go to training, and basically, you know, Smoke has so many players that they usually rock up with like 30 or so at a training session now. So there's two full pitches going on. So, you know, the varsity and JV pitch, as I call it. So the varsity guys, all the Smoke guys, and then the best for the rest. And then the JV will be your rookies and whomever else. And so I was always relegated to that secondary pitch. And I'm happy to train. I like coaching. I actually really enjoy player development, making players get better and whatnot. But, you know, at the same time, I have a responsibility in my team to be the best possible quarterback I can be, so that when it comes to game day, I can perform. And if I'm playing against rookies, I'm not getting any better. And so I was saying, you know, look, I get, you know, Charlie's GB gold quarterback. I made this very clear. I am not trying to be the Smoke quarterback. I am not trying to get into the GB system and compete against that. All I'm asking for is, you know, a few drives of training session with the better players against the better D, so that I can keep my skills sharp. And then I'll happily go and play with the other guys and train and coach and all that stuff, and you'll still get plenty of reps. But that wasn't reasonable. And it's just been challenging because, you know, throughout my whole career previously in hockey, which is, you know, as you guys know, is my real sport, I was always, you know, the second goalie initially in a season. And I had to basically any opportunity I had to prove that, you know, I deserve more playing time. And there was a coach that would say, "Oh yeah, you know, we did this drill, or we did this scrimmage, or we did whatever. And Brian seems to be stopping the puck more than our starter. Maybe we should give him some more reps and more reps and more reps." The next thing you know, you're the starter. And I made it very clear to them, I'm not trying to be the starter. I'm not trying to compete against that. But I just want to get better. And I want to, you know, make it really, you know, worthwhile. And also keep in mind, again, that when it comes to game time, that I'm the best I can be to help my team win. And, you know, that was one of the points of contention, amongst others.
And that sort of desire to be, I think most players within sport, right, I'm not even talking about flag football here, want to be the best version of what they can be, right? There's nobody out there that's not trying to actively get better. But is it that part of your makeup that's driven you to go and do tournaments with non-Smoke organization teams, basically?
100%. Yeah, because I realized that, you know, I had a chat with Charlie, and I asked, you know, is there ever going to be an opportunity for me to go to a tournament and be the quarterback with the Smoke guys? And he said no. So, you know, it's like, okay, so then that means that in a tournament, if I play by the rules with Smoke, just to get some background, their culture is that if a tournament is worth going to, we will send a team. So if we don't send a team, it's not worth us going. and you're not, it's very much looked down upon to play for any team outside of the club.
Right. So, wow. Okay.
So period. It's just, it's very, very, they don't like to bring mercs in to fill in. So even if you had a team that, say you've got eight guys that are committed and we want to go to the XYZ tournament, but we need a couple more guys just to make sure we have enough players to round out numbers, injuries, etc., they will just say, you know what, we're not going to the tournament, rather than bring in mercs. So rule number one is no mercs, but even worse, rule number two is you don't go and moonlight for other clubs. So wow. when you're someone like myself that has that competitive drive, who literally gets in trouble from his wife watching smoke on live stream when I'm on holiday, that's how committed I am to the club, that I want to see how they're performing while I'm on holiday, you know, then, and going, I want to do that. I want that experience, but realizing that that's not possible to do unless I go outside of the club. And then based on the performance that I've had, you know, and making relationships and stuff, that, you know, teams actually ask me to go, but what am I to do? You know, either I don't get to do the thing I want to do, or I go outside of the club rules. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't have a contract. We're not paid for this. This is Sunday league at a high level. And what's it going to hurt? But again, that was another point of contention that I had with, which led to my decision to leave, was they weren't a happy that I was going outside of that culture and doing things outside the club, and B, they really didn't like that I was touting about it on my social media, which, you know, I mean, I think, you know, winning those kind of tournaments is something that you should be able to share with your friends and family and celebrate. You know, I didn't boast about winning the Woking Whirlwind tournament on my social media, because that was a little thing, whatever. But yeah, you know, when you win an international tournament, that I don't follow the flag football stuff as deep as maybe some think I do, but I think that the Reading Devils were the only team that won an international tournament last year in flag that was UK based. I don't know, but there weren't a whole lot. And it was, that's something I think that's worth being proud of and celebrating. And that was a problem as well.
So you're absolutely right in that. I think Reading, yeah, was the only UK based team to win a tournament outside of the UK in 2023. And I think it probably was since GB won Pink Bowl in 2022, probably thinking back actually. And it doesn't happen very often. So I get the want to share that. And it's realistic that you're going to want to share those achievements. I think, sort of as a club rule, and it surprises me, it's as stern as a club rule to say, hey, we don't want players in. I kind of get that from a culture building standpoint. I'm sure Matt, you might have a different view on that type of thing, but in terms of going and playing for other teams, especially when you're in the position you're in, you're not going to get the opportunity to ever go and play with what I would quote unquote call ones players and get better. So you're looking at your other avenue to say, how do I get better, and trying to play with better players. You know, obviously, how does that work from a smoke perspective with the national team? You know, I assume players are allowed to go and play for the national team. Even is that not a similar level of exposure for the team, or how does that work?
You'd have to ask Charlie. I think that what I had hoped is, because I'm in a unique player within that system, and that, you know, I'm what I like to think is an elite quarterback. Charlie's an elite quarterback. You have two of what I think are, you know, arguably some of the best quarterbacks in the UK that happen to be in the same club. And one has declared he's not interested in competing against the other one. He just wants to have a little bit of leniency and flexibility so that he can achieve his goals for flag football and help the club get stronger. And that wasn't possible. And that's what really was frustrating for me.
Going back to what you're saying, Jay, about my view, I wouldn't have developed and been in the position I am if my clubs had, like, forbidden me to not go away with other clubs to playing tournaments. I wouldn't be where I'm at now, because it allowed me, with, you know, sort of the reverse side as a receiver, play with different levels of quarterback and play with other talents of receivers and learn the game and see the other levels of talent going away. Obviously, going from a Div 1 club to playing in Big Ball and all of a sudden, or King Ball, and all of a sudden seeing the levels that you've got to play at and seeing whether you can stick at it, which ultimately then led me to making the move to Canes. So that's from my sort of development, but I think Brian's right saying, you know, that is quite a unique position to be in that club, where you've got two guys that are right at the top there, especially in the UK scene anyway.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate, Brian, you're probably trying to be humble by saying, I like to think I'm elite. You are elite. You're obviously an elite quarterback, and you sort of prove that with the record you've got in terms of wins. You know, let's not forget that Flash team that you had, you know, year one, went away and got promoted straight away. You know, every other team and tournament you seem to have played for, you seem to have won it. So let's not do a disservice. Let's not beat around the bush, Brian. You're quite a good player. Yeah, no, understand the frustrations. And Matt, to your point, I have to agree. I know clubs, I won't call them out, but I know clubs that don't seem to participate outside of their own circles. And they go round and round and round and round in circles because they only see their own stuff a lot of the time. They only see their own schemes, ways of doing things, culture pieces, players, techniques, all of that. Go away and play with someone different. Learn something different. Expose yourself and put yourself out there. Be afraid of the unexpected, essentially, is a part of going to these tournaments. And it's not always the case that 10 guys from your local area want to go to Copenhagen, you know? Sometimes you have to get friends together and make contacts, and that's part of it. So yeah, very unique culture point. Any other reasons in general for leaving the Smoke, or should we move on from that topic?
Yeah, I think the other reasons were, you know, in the Smoke organization, the whole idea, like, they've kind of created a mini GB system, if you will. So, you know, the all the other teams feed up to Smoke. Smoke is essentially GB Gold, then Flash would be GB Silver, Spark would be GB Bronze, right? So the whole idea is to promote and be excited for players to want to eventually get into the Smoke squad. Which is great. You know, one of the problems that I think I had with the executive committee was, you know, some people, the point of flag football isn't just flag football success and glory. It's also about friendships and relationships. And I was making friendships and relationships with some of the players to where, you know, they were asked to go play for Smoke after year one. And they said, you know, I kind of really just like playing with Brian, so I'm going to stay with him and Flash, which, you know, that meant that Smoke suffered because they wouldn't go up. And again, no one's under contract, so you can't force them to. And then there's the issue with, like, Kenny last year, Kenny Drelich, right? he started off on Flash. He was my number one receiver, an unstoppable, you know, real force on offense. And, you know, midway through the season, Smoke had a couple injuries, and they decided they were going to take him for defense. I basically was told that I need to push Kenny to go ahead and be excited for him to go to Smoke and whatever. I was like, well, my team is really short on numbers as it is. If I'm not excited about losing my number one receiver, that really makes it difficult for us to hit our goals, which were simply to make the playoffs. We knew we weren't going to win a national championship or probably a plate, but we just want to make the playoffs, and that'd make it further difficult to accomplish those goals. So there was a point of contention there too. And it was like, you know, they want somebody that is going to be pushing players to, oh yeah, go for Smoke. You should go with that. That's awesome. You know, congratulations, which it is. I mean, look, they're the best team in the country the last 2 years in a row, but at the same time, I'm just a competitive person. It's hard to say, well, go off and go away because I really enjoyed it. You're such a crucial part of my team. You know, it was different, like, the first year with Flash when they took a couple players because they were good players, but we still had so many players. It wasn't a big deal when they took, like, Jacob Adams and somebody else. But, you know, when they took Kenny, I was like, that's a massive, massive hit. And I wasn't consulted at all. You know, it was, you know, basically when you talk about Smoke, you've got the executive committee of, you know, Charlie, Henry, and Johnny. And that's a very tight circle that no one, no matter how much you think you're going to get in that circle, never going to happen. Outside of that circle are their close mates from uni and whatnot that are kind of like advisory. Outside of that circle are the team captains that they give, you know, kind of chores to or advice to. And then beyond that are all the rest of the players. But if you're a team captain, which is the ring that I was in, essentially, you don't get any input. They don't give you any feedback. They don't come to you for advice. They don't tell you what's going on. They make decisions and you just abide by it. And as a team captain, I have responsibility to my guys and the team goals too. And I felt like that was handled really poorly. And that was a big point of contention of, like, hey, you could have come to me, you know, told me what your thoughts were. We could have discussed this and we could have handled it diplomatically. But when you literally get a text saying Kenny's on smoke, you're like, what's up? Like, it just, I felt like I had put enough into that club through everything I had done that I should have, I didn't expect to get in that super inner circle, that I should have been a little bit more involved with some of those decisions, or at least felt more part of it. And I just felt like I was on the outside, and that wasn't going to change.
And did you have an opportunity to pull them players up from, if we're talking gold, silver, bronze, because I'll get all of the names of smoke teams mixed up. Did you have an opportunity to pick from that third team?
If I wanted to, yeah. and funny enough, you know, that when I did bring up Seamus, who came up from Spark last year when we lost Kenny. So he was the best receiver option from Spark to bring up. And then when Dom went down with his injury, I brought Matt Dunn up. So yeah, we did have the option to do that as well.
Right.
I handled it differently. I reached out to those players and said, hey, there's an opportunity on Flash. Would you be interested? And first I went to Joe Pullen, who was the quarterback of Spark, and said, we've got this issue. What are your thoughts about this player? You know, would you be upset if I took him? How does that affect your thing? So I had those conversations with him straight up, and Joe loved him to death. He was like, you know, you do, if you need him, I'm happy. I'll miss him, but it's cool. We had that dialogue, and at least it felt like, all right, cool. I'll have a conversation with them. If they want to come, great. It was just that communication. And, you know, again, it's Charlie Henry's and Johnny's club. And they've done an amazing job building it from scratch, and it's something they're extremely proud of. And I wasn't trying to change it, you know, fundamentally by any means. But you know, I'm also not a rookie. I've led lots of teams. I've done a lot of development and coaching. I have a few ideas, but yeah, it just there were some issues there.
I'm sort of playing devil's advocate back to, so presumably when you join the club, you. Is there a handbook? Because some of these rules seem quite definite in their definitions, yeah, to say the least. Is there a handbook you get? And basically, what I'm trying to say is, did you know all of these guidelines were going to be in place when you first joined Smoke?
No, I when I first joined Smoke, it was because Luke Champion had joined Smoke, and I was just throwing a football with Luke at the park. And just like, this is just a fun thing to do with a mate that I met running through the park. And it was fun. And he said, you know, I found this team. They're pretty serious. You might enjoy it. And I went out, and it was way, on my first training, I hated it. Like, it's kind of a common thing I hear. Cause it's so intense. You don't really know what the hell is going on. And they just kind of, they basically, if you think the NFL combine is brutal, that's kind of what it is. They basically, you do a few drills, and they rate you up and down, basically put you in a pot, and that's where you're going to be. They put me on defense at first, and I was like, this is lame. I was literally watching people playing your kind of football, pitches over, like playing cornerback, going, I'm bored, but I'm getting some exercise. This is fine. And I only got into the quarterback thing because I was obviously – I wasn't, you know, fast enough or whatever to be a receiver, but the guy who was throwing the ball couldn't throw it to save his life. And I was like, just give me the stupid ball, let me throw it. And then I started, you know, then the whole quarterback path. But yeah, it's a whole different setup. And then like, you don't really know what you're getting to. I remember, I think I came, I first started doing the quarterback thing with them. I don't know, maybe it was September-ish of 1 year. So my first year didn't start, you know, what, 5-6 months later with Flash. And I didn't even know what we were doing. I was like, do we just come and do this training and these drills every time, or what's going on? It wasn't until sometime in February that they kind of started talking, there's like a league and this is how it works. And I was like, oh, cool. So this is going to happen. We'll play some games. There's not like, you know, a whole litmus of rules that are out there. It's more like you do something that they don't like and they find a way to let you know that they're not happy about it.
So my sort of follow-up to that then is, do you think if you had, I'm not necessarily saying you had, you know, like the New Testament and all the list of rules that you should and shouldn't follow, but at least have an awareness of that before you join or in your early days, do you think you, and I'm going to call it rebel, would you have rebelled as much, yeah, I know, good pun, right? Yeah. Would you have rebelled as much against some of those rules as maybe you have done? Do you think there was a relationship that still would have existed with the smoke as a result if you'd known it up front and then been able to make that decision going into it?
No, I think I might have asked for permission more than just doing it is the only thing different. Like if that was known, I probably said, had a conversation and said, hey, you know, because I really like to do this, but clearly since you're not going to let me do that, maybe would you mind if I went and played a tournament with somebody else or whatever? And then if they said no, you know, I probably would have done it anyway and just dealt with it. Cause again, we're not getting paid for this. It's not a contract, but it's, you know, I was a Division I college athlete. You know, you don't get to that level, regardless of sport, if you're not competitive and if you don't have drive and if you don't want to make yourself better and if you don't have training outside of what you actually do with your team. And when all I had, you know, here in London for sport is football. So I put all of my free time energy into that. I mean, I do film study, and like when I watch NFL, I watch it totally differently now. I'm watching quarterbacks. You know, I'm watching like they're in shotgun, what foot do they have forward? When they're under center, like where's their hand position? When they do plays, could I make that play that just worked into a flag play? How would I design that to work in flag? You know, I watch it completely differently. And, you know, I go all in because it's my passion now. And I think that regardless of what the rules were, I can't stop being competitive. And the thing is, when you see people like Charlie and the other smoke guys who are that good, they have that same passion and drive too. So it's like, okay, cool. Like iron sharpens iron. Let's go. Let's get better. Let's compete against each other in training. Let's all get better. And I think that was just one of the things that was frustrating was, you know, I think I can hang with these guys, but I can't prove it because I don't have the weapons around me to prove it. And that's why I started looking for the opportunities outside of it. It's like, you know, I want to prove that I can do this. I want to prove that I can bring hardware home. I want to prove that I'm an elite quarterback. And the only way for me to do that is to, you know, go and do these tournaments.
Not to backtrack on what, you know, segue into a different topic, as you said, but when you were in that training session, you said, give me the ball. Were you a quarterback previously, or was that the start of this BT12 legacy?
Or you just American?
Yeah, or you just can sling it.
In all honesty, it's just American can sling. I played contact football back in high school, and I was a receiver, and I was, you know, third string quarterback because although I've got a big arm for flag, I don't have a big enough arm for contact. You know, to be a starting contact quarterback in high school, and my high school is one of the top schools in Southern California. You've got to be able to throw the ball 65 yards. You know, that's just it. That's just, if you can't do that, you're not going to be the quarterback of the team. Even though realistically, and even Brady himself said this in an interview, that in NFL, typically the longest in the air ball that you throw is about 50 yards because of the amount of time you have to get rid of it anyway. I was, you know, a third stringer, and I didn't play much. And then I switched to hockey. My football career was really short because I had to pick. I played hockey, played football, and I played baseball. And I had to choose of those three sports, which one do I think I can go the farthest in? And I said, hockey's my best shot. So I focused on that. I stopped playing the other sports.
I just like the idea that we missed out on a potentially different universe of corner Brian Tabor. And all, you know, it could have been Tabor Island is my mind, right? That he could have been out there giving crap to the receivers, sort of like, you know, giving it the old hand gestures pre-snap and all of this. Could have been a completely different game.
You might see some of it this season, who knows?
I can imagine a parallel universe in a weird pink ball, and it's you at QB and Brian with the pick six.
I could absolutely imagine going down 13 early with me at QB. I think that's
a thing. Like when you play with players again, like yourself at Pink Bowl, you know, it was so awesome. One of my favorite things about that tournament was that I didn't have the pressure that I had to be. It was all on me to do. I knew that we had a solid defense, and I knew that I could call upon you to come in and do a 2QB play. And you know, I have control issues, you know, and I don't run any 2QB.
Likewise, by the way.
Yeah, I don't run 2QB in my offense because last season there wasn't anybody I trusted to give the ball to, because as you probably know, whenever you give somebody the ball who actually can throw it, the first thing they try to do in a game is throw a touchdown even if there's a wide open option 8 yards out or whatever, that's the clear, obvious choice you should do. They try and throw the big, deep ball, and you can't trust them. But I knew you, being a quarterback, would make the smart decisions. And even in the final, I said, you know what? I'm gonna give Jay the chance to throw a touchdown here because the defense isn't expecting it, and I trust him to make the right call. And I did. And you know, those are the type of things that you get when you have players that you can trust and that have skill, and that you know you can only really get when you get out, kind of have to go outside of the club, I guess, from Smoke.
Brian watched some tape on me beforehand and went, that's a guy that likes a check down. I can give him the ball. We'll be safe.
To be fair, I was hoping you'd throw it back my way so I could do the one-hander. But
I did. I gave you one. I gave you one in the group stage.
You did. I appreciate it.
I want to focus on 2QB because I was actually going to come to that. Do you think, I'll go back to the Smoke sort of setup. Obviously, yeah. Look, I think everybody's going to, you know, baseline. Charlie Williams, amazing quarterback. He's obviously GB Gold for a reason. He is the best quarterback in the UK right now. Do you think there was ever a reality that he would have brought you in as a second QB? Because he does run part of that as his offense, and he definitely uses that as a tool. But he uses players from the tape I've seen and the games I've called at finals days that are, I would say, primarily receivers who can throw. Do you think it was ever a possibility that he was like, hey, Brian, you're going to come in for this one play and we're going to run it because it's the national championship, you know?
No.
Right.
There's lots of reasons for that. But I mean, like when there'd be times in practice where he'd be like, hey, let's go run some 2QB. And that would mean like maybe one play for drive. He would, you know, give me a chance to throw it. But inevitably, every time I'd throw the ball, I could feel like laser eyes, like, is that the right decision? And Charlie and I just have a totally different style of playing, you know, and I don't have a problem, you know, taking slightly more risky throws or, you know, going attacking the middle. He doesn't agree with those, you know, and that's fine. You know, he's very, very calculated, and that's why he's so good, because it's all high percentage stuff. Versus I'm like, it's training, screw it. I'll take a chance, you know, because then it lets me know what I'm capable of doing. Yeah, I use training sessions as an opportunity to see what my limits are so that I make better decisions when it matters. But I think when it comes down to playing with them, I wouldn't want to do it because Charlie's clearly the guy. He's the starting quarterback, whatever, which means like, okay, I would play on Smoke and get like to touch the ball a couple reps because he's not going to throw it to me. I'm not fast enough. My hands aren't good enough to like compared to like JJ and Jam. I'm not going to get to play. I would rather be the starting quarterback of a team where I get to actually be an impact player and contribute to winning or hopefully not be the reason we lose than to just like get to touch the ball a couple times the same in national championship. That makes zero sense to me. The amount of time and energy and effort we put into this, like it makes no sense to me why you'd want to be a player on a team and barely get any reps versus play for a team where you actually can contribute and be part of it.
Is that your pitch to people to come and join your Rebels, by the way?
You know, I hadn't rehearsed that at all, but it came off pretty good as if it was. Yeah. No, it's just true. I mean, that's just the way that I personally, but everybody's different. There are people that, you know, they just want to be part of the big Smoke, you know, and they want to say that they're a national champion or they want to, you know, be around that. And that's cool, you know, but for me, I'd rather, you know, actually be out and playing the game and be part of it and being, like I said, being a reason why you either win and hopefully not the reason you lose.
So we'll move on more to Rebels talk then. So yeah. Why Rebels, I think? Because you must have
changed. Why not?
Well, absolutely. But I know factually you had an offer from Reading to go and participate in that team. And you've kind of already alluded to the fact that you didn't want to be a second QB. So like, maybe that's part of that answer. But you must have had... You know, let's talk about it in college terms. You must have had 25 D1 offers and all of that type of stuff. You must have had choice, is what I'm saying, Brian. Yes. So why choose the London Rebels?
I'm a man of many options and very few modes of transportation.
Right. Okay. Just like the NFL, this, isn't it? Just like the NFL.
I wish it, put it this way, I wish it was a paid league because I genuinely think I would be able to get a very nice contract and settle down somewhere in the UK in a nice house. But realistically it was just, I don't own a car, so I have to deal with public transport. Reading, I love those guys. Obviously, you know that, everyone knows that.
They're a good
but at the same time, they're amazing, and we get on so well. But Tom is an amazing quarterback, and I don't want to take him. I already feel bad that Tom has to share time at GB Silver. I'm not gonna ask him for some reps and take time away from him in BAFA. That wouldn't be fair. It's difficult for me to get out there. I'm happy to go and train with them once in a while, which they've extended that opportunity, which is great. But I thought from a perspective, if there was another team that came around that was, easier to get to train and stuff, then that would be a better option. But worst case scenario, yeah, it was going to be Devils as a worst case scenario just to keep in the prem. I did get plenty of Division I offers, but at the same time, D1 is just, I can't be bothered at this point. It's a lot of, it's the travel schedule, the challenge, it's just not there. And no offense, it just isn't. It kind of goes to the same thing. Like, yeah, I go win a D1 championship, it wouldn't be the same. Going back to the smoke thing just briefly, when on that finals day, when Spark won the title, I could have, buggered off and gone to a pub, but I stuck around specifically because it was exciting to see, because that was something that some of the players from my team the previous year, when we didn't get the job done that we, were tried to accomplish, it was good to see those guys win that and go through that. And I looked around and saw I was the only representative of the Smoke organization that was still at the fields. And so if they were going to have somebody capture that moment for them, it would have to be me. And I was happy to stick around and do that for them because I have that connection with them. And it was fun to see, but I don't need to go back and win Div 1 just to, say I did it. I want to go off and win bigger things and build something that I can, be part of.
In terms of that, so with your move over now to the Rebels, like a short-term versus long-term thing, are you seeing yourself in win now mode, or is this something that's going to take a year or two or further to try and get yourselves up to where you believe yourself you can be?
I think it all depends on there's a lot of factors. So obviously, Kenny and myself as team captains, that's a pretty solid, base to go off of on both sides of the ball. So you've got Kenny, who's an amazing coach. And what I love about Kenny that it's hard to find at any club, is a guy that really enjoys playing, coaching and developing players, who's an awesome player himself. Usually when you get to the level of coach that Kenny is, you can't do it anymore. You're not fit enough to actually do the job as well. Kenny's both able to coach and do the job as well. And then obviously you've got, me on the other side of the ball. So it's just going to matter of who's going to rock up, who can we, convince to come join the Rebel Alliance, as as I'm projecting out there, and try and take down the Empire. And it's a long shot, but Luke hit the target. They blew up the Death Star 3 times. We can do it too. It's going to take the right squad of guys coming together. But I think a short version of the answer is, I think this season's going to be a struggle, because I haven't had quite the as much as I wanted to have my Jerry Maguire moment and yell who's coming with me, and have, well, I guess in that movie only one person stood up, have everybody stand up and come with me. I've only had one person from Flash, make the commitment to come join me at Rebels, which is a bit disappointing, but it is what it is. So hopefully there's a few other people out there and other teams that might say, this team is decent, but I had the means to get into Central London and train with them, and I like the idea of playing for Brian and Kenny and developing myself and being part of something and building it, and we can get there sooner. But I think this year is definitely going to be a challenge. Unfortunately, it's not as if Rebels spent the entire last year, recruiting and building this monster team, and I'm the final piece of the puzzle. That would be the dream. But reality is, it's you know, that we might be playing Ironman football at some of these game days. We'll see.
And are you surprised genuinely that more of your ex-teammates, because you clearly had quite a big impact on some players you played with, and they clearly had affection for you in what you were saying before, not necessarily always wanting to move up to different teams in sort of different levels within the Spoke organization purely because they like playing for you. Are you surprised that some individuals haven't decided to join you on that journey? Are you hurt by it particularly?
Yeah, to be honest. There are many, many conversations at pubs after game days, even going back into that first season with Flash, where players were like, you know, we should start our own team because they just, yeah, and I don't want to bash Smoke. You know, I'm trying to be factual and be, you know, cordial and stuff, because I do obviously respect those guys and everything. And I appreciate, you know, the opportunity and everything that I got from that club. So I want to make sure that that's clear. But there were definitely some frustrations because of the way that team's managed and led, that led to many conversations in pubs about, Brian, you should start your own team. And you know, I've heard that from so many people in the Flag community. Every time I go to a tournament or whatnot, you know, people come in and say, why don't you start your own team? I'm like, I'm old. I don't want to play Div 1 again. I don't want to build this up again. You know, it's a lot of work. It's just, I'm happy here. I just hope that I can make it work. And you know, basically I had at least 8 players, I would say, that I thought were potential, who had either said, if we start our own team, like I'd be in for that or whatever, whether it was because they had too many beers in them and they were just talking shit or whatnot. But I would say that there was a solid 4 players, and I'm not going to call them out because that wouldn't be fair. But I'd say I had 4 players that I said, if I ever were to leave Smoke, these guys, these are the guys. And unfortunately, none of those 4 came. I wish them the best, and it's not going to affect our relationships. I mean, I'm still going to be friends with them, but you know, they've got different reasons why they decided to stay, and that's fine. I respect that. Because I've always said, you know, you got to make football what's best for you and what your goals are, but outside, you know, with your, what works best for your work schedule, outside of life, whatever else you have going on, what you want to get out of your football. And if it's just more comfy and safe to stay in that at Smoke, I get it. But yeah, a little bit hurt, to be honest. But again, I'm still gonna be friends with them. I'll still have a pint with them, but I'm not sharing my new playbook, that's for sure.
Is there anybody on the New Rebels team though that you can talk about and that you can announce for us?
Yeah, I can announce that the one player that has come over from Flash last year is Will Parsons. So great cornerback. He's very chippy, really, really solid. He's definitely a guy that you've got to be careful with, because he'll give you a space, make you think you're going to be able to pull out that curl, and he'll pick it off. He's just a really, really solid player and a great guy. He's another one that I enjoy hanging out with, so I'm happy to have him join me. And then the other surprising player that I'm excited to announce will be joining Rebels this season is from the Reading Devils, Chris Beckford.
Yeah, huge. I mean, obviously between the three of us, because we all play with him at Pink Bowl, and I've played with Chris quite a lot through other international tournaments for Reading. It's quite a big addition, I think, Chris.
He's huge.
He's got a ton of experience playing both for Reading and also the Spartans before that. Variety of positions, high engine player, can run pretty much every route you want him to run and do most of what I would call the dirty work between the fives. Yeah, huge addition.
Yeah, he, you know, and again, with low recruitment numbers, it's important to have two-way players like him and somebody that I played with and I trust and another great guy to have around. He's just we had so much fun. It was fun getting to know him more at Pink Bowl. And you know, those are things that you don't get to do unless you're kind of on holiday and having a pizza, you know, and happens to be the guy sitting next to you, and you get to learn more about them and what makes them tick. And you know, he learned more about my travels and my passion there, and he happened to be going on holiday in York. And I gave him, you know, some of my favorite beer spots and restaurants and things. And it's that kind of camaraderie that I enjoy about Flag as well, outside of the, you know, winning is fun, but it's also the relationships, you know, especially being an American that's been here almost 5 years and literally, you know, you guys know me, I'm fairly personable. The only friends that I have, people I actually consider friends, are all through flag football, but one, you know, and so it's a really important part of my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about it too. So I'm happy to have Will and Becky join me on this new journey. And, you know, we'll see if hopefully throughout the season, we'll pick up some more, but that remains to be seen.
Hearing the news about Becky doesn't surprise me, because when I first played with you at the Woking tournament, you could see there was exactly what you've just explained there, that friendship, that connection. He seemed to have a lot of fun playing with you. And as Jay said, he can do a lot of the stuff you kind of want. And it looked like it worked when you played together for, I'm assuming, the first time.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I mean, same thing with you. I played with you the first time at tournament. It's just like there's certain players that you just you play with and you just switch on, you connect with right away, and you realize kind of how to utilize them best. And, you know, Becky said that, you know, a lot of times quarterbacks don't utilize his height, because it's not he's massively tall, but he's taller, you know, and quarterbacks won't put the ball higher up and let him go up and get it. And when I see a taller, you know, receiver, that's I want to utilize. I want to put the ball up where only they can get it. And so when I did that with him, he was like, "Oh, okay, cool. Like you recognize that, I'm in." And yeah, it's just things like that that we clicked on really well. So I'm really happy to have him on board.
Absolutely, I think it's the BT12 prototype receiver really for you is tall guys. Having been on the end of the Marcus Price team, and I can't remember who else was on that team specifically other than Kostas, because it's like, oh, look at the tall guy, let me throw that ball up to him four
he's
times.
Not that tall. I thought Kostas was taller, but he's I think only 6'2".
I think it's the beard. The beard adds height, and then once he's got rid of that, now he's slightly shorter.
And the hair, yeah.
We had the conversation at training, literally, I think it might have been 2 weekends ago, and they were like, "Oh, I seen videos of Kostas, and he's not that tall. He's just got that aura and that size about him." But yeah, being in that Flag and Ball Z team with those guys, and alongside Harley and Kostas, because that's kind of what I get as my compliment. Like when you're in a flag huddle. Because when I was playing contact, I was smaller than the running back, and I'm like borderline 6 foot. And then for me to go under, and then I'm in a huddle with all these guys. You got Kostas, Harley, yourself, not short by any imagination. I'm looking up and I'm thinking, I'm playing flag here. What's going on?
Well, but in just a matter from my point of view, when I'm in that huddle and I see those players, you know, and it was so awesome to know that every single one of these guys staring back at me can make a play. And you know, there was a play when we were playing against UJ with Devils, where it was like fourth and forever because, you know, the rain had stopped us or whatever. And I just told Kostas, give me a do an out at the first down line. So they think we're just going for the first down and take off up pitch, you know, and I'm just going to air it out to you. And, you know, he's like, all right. And you can just drop that ball in there and know that he's going to come down with it. And it's just, playing with players that run routes like that you just have belief in is huge. And there were times, you know, last year, like the against VPP, I don't know if I told you this story before, but in our final game day, we played VPP and then we played Devils. And we knew we were going to lose the Devils. That was a foregone conclusion because of the squad we had. But if we beat VPP, we'd get to the playoffs, which was our goal. But I looking at my offense and I had one Jamie Price went out for a bit because of a head injury. And at the same time, on that same play, Dockers got a wind knocked out of him. So I'm looking. So Dockers comes in for Jamie saying, I can only do a 2 yard curl. My center had a leg injury, Matt Dunn. So he can only speed walk. And Andrew Cooper, my left wide receiver, couldn't lift his arm over his head because he had a shoulder injury. And Radu Bellin only had about 70% speed because of his leg injury. And I'm down 2 scores. So we won that game, by the way. But going from that type of a scenario to a Flag and Ball Z or a pink squad, that is what I was – it was just like highlights of my year, having those opportunities to really go in and know the pressure's off from that standpoint. I've got the right pieces of the puzzle. I've just got to call the right plays and let them – work the system, and it's going to be tough to stop us. It was so much fun.
And I just want it on record that at that Marcus Price tournament, that was not my side to cover that Costas got us on that. It was Home Alone.
don't worry about it. I'm going to edit it out anyway. I'm not letting Costas have any compliments.
Good.
But just going back to the NT, like again, I'm not. I know that I'm too old to be in the GB system. I'm not going to have it. The only chance I have to throw to a player like Costas, who plays for Cardiff, is if he plays in a tournament. Right, that's it. That's the only way I get to throw to that guy. And I've seen him, make so many amazing plays on social media and stuff. I'm like, man, that guy'd be fun to throw to. And then to have that chance when he rocked up, I was like, oh hell yeah! Like this is gonna be so fun. And I guess I don't understand why that's why that's an issue. But I was really really excited for it, and I genuinely hope I get a chance to throw to him again at some point.
You're welcome, by the way.
Thanks, Maddie.
What is your response to the criticism that's been given, specifically to the Rebels as a team, on being allowed back into the Premiership this year? Because, and for those listeners that don't understand this, so Rebels were in the Premiership in 2021, managed to get all the way to the plate final. I think they won the plate final in that year. 2022. 2023 didn't register a team in time, so weren't in the Premiership, and then in 2024 have been allowed back in straight away on the basis of a rule that was a hangover from COVID, is my understanding, that they were allowed to take a year out and take their place back where they were. And it also helps, obviously, that Aylesbury Vale Spartans have stepped out, so we have an equal number of Premiership teams. But obviously there's a few Division 1 teams that feel like they earned that spot there. I'm not naming any names, but they obviously feel some type of way about that. What is kind of your response to that?
I genuinely feel bad for VPP in that scenario. Obviously, they're the ones that are aggrieved.
It's not just VPP, but yeah, they're an example of a team.
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel bad for them because I remember talking to their quarterback directly after. Or right before they played Aylesbury Spartans, because that was essentially a playoff to see who played in the relegation game.
It was, there was like they needed a 2-point swing or something silly, right? They needed to win by two.
Right. So I was talking to Sam and he was like, what do you think? I said, have a good game, but you guys are, if you bring the same squad that you brought today, you should have no problem staying in the Prem. So don't sweat it. And then they lost that game by like a point or something, very nominal margin. Yep. And so they lost to a team that forced them to play in the relegation game, who then folded. And then, they got bypassed by Rebels because of this rule. So I genuinely feel bad for them. I like the guys from VVP. They're really good guys. But it's a fortunate occurrence of events for me in particular, because otherwise I wouldn't have a Premiership team to play for. I guess I don't know what other Division One teams were upset about. I would think they're the only ones that would have any complaint over it. But I do see their point in that they had a team, they played a whole season. Why not give them an opportunity to come back to the Prem? At the same time, they didn't rock up the numbers to be able to compete to defend the right to stay in the Prem. So I'm not a BAFA commissioner, thank God. So it's not my place to say, but I can understand why they're upset.
No, that's completely fair enough. And I'm sure it won't make them feel any better, but at least they've heard it from the horse's mouth. And then, sort of last thing from me, and Matt, and probably you may have a few more questions after this, but last thing from me, you obviously got a good track record of being a gun for hire for other teams. I'm sure that's going to continue. You've had success with the Devils, Flagging Ball Z. I don't know whether we're going to be seeing like a Star Wars themed team coming out based on some of your social media activities. I know there's been some goings on with Nuola on social media, whether the two things are linked. But anyway, so now you're out of that smoke organization and bubble and the rule doesn't apply. You can go and play for other teams. Are there any players specifically on your list of I must play with that person. You know, you've talked about Costas as a good example and Harley as a good example. Are there any people within the flag football scene that you know of that you're like, I really want to play a tournament with that guy?
Okay. JJ and Jam.
Wow. Back home.
And it's happening.
Flagapalooza.
Flagapalooza, or Flagapalooza, or whatever.
Yeah, Flagapalooza. So, yeah, sorry. Yeah, Ben, or kill me for getting that wrong.
Yeah, I'm excited to finally actually be able to throw to those guys, so that they're, you know, and I hold a Thursday night session at a local park by mine that, you know, some of the you know, those JJ Jam and some of the other, you know, top quality receivers come out to, and that's really what helped me last year, I would say, at keeping, you know, my skill level up throwing to those guys, but never been able to throw to them in an actual game scenario. And just seeing what they do when they're in full game mode. Well, I guess I did play with JJ once in a Go Mammoth League game, but, you know, that's 7-on-7 and it's weird rules and whatnot. But it was still just funny when he just like, oh, I would like, he wrote down plays on the back of a napkin type of thing. And there was like 8 plays he drew up and I'd never seen him because it's 7-on-7. And I would pick one and he goes, ooh, throw me the ball on that one. I'm like, okay, I'll throw it to you. And it was, you know, he's just always in the right place. And again, he's tall and you put the ball up there and watch him now with it. So I'm excited to go into that tournament with them where it's, you know, outside of that, that smoke environment where we can just have a lot of fun. Beers will be allowed. At least I will have a beer and play with those guys. So, but yeah, I think those are the two top ones that I'm looking forward to rocking out with this year. But as far as gun for hire, yeah, the cool thing with Rebels is, you know, we're still trying to rock up numbers, to be quite honest. You know, we've got a good core group, but we need to add some more here before the deadline, obviously, and guys will be committed to play for the season. So tournament wise, I think, you know, it might be difficult for us to send a proper Rebels team to many tournaments. So kind of our thoughts are, yeah, if we can take do something that the whole team would go to, we can be great. If not, totally fine to go outside of the club. We're not going to be strict like that. I'm not trying to, you know, reinvent smoke somewhere else. I want to have a club that's a lot more inclusive, where the team, you know, members of the team, if they have ideas they want to bring to training, drills they want to run, things they want to work on, that we can do that. I want to make sure that, you know, everyone has a good time. We focus on the football, but nobody's goals for football are hampered by being part of that club. So if they do want to go play some for someone else, totally fine. And, you know, I plan on playing a few tournaments this year. I've already committed to, like I said, the Pit Vipers, Blackapalooza, King Bull, and likely Pink Bull with the Devils, probably the Working Rolling Tournament, the Marcus Price Tournament, potentially Granite City, whatever they call it, because I don't want to be wrong and make somebody upset.
Granite City Quake.
That's the one. There's lots of tournaments that I want to do. But more tournaments, the merrier. That's, you get more football in and you get to play with more people. And the only downside to doing a tournament for me is, you know, more people get to learn my plays, but I'll make new ones.
Half the fun, right? Half the fun.
You're the benefit of one of my favorites.
Absolutely, it's definitely in my playbook. We call it Pink Ball. It's not obvious at all as to what we're calling. Matt, anything else from you before we wrap up?
No, I was going to tag onto that. Then I'm a big fan of that playbook because it's brought me success too. But from everything that we've spoke about now, with your, you know, facing the season ever approaching in about just over a month's time, with this whole project and everything considered, are you excited for the future now and everything that's going to come and all the challenges you're going to face? I know you said you're going to struggle, but going forward, this opportunity, what's the feeling, the energy, excited to go forward?
I'm happy, you know, because here's the thing, like I would rather go to a training session with 3 guys or 4 guys or a girl, they show up and they're solid, I don't care, and have fun and play good football and just do good drills, than to literally be relegated to the JV pitch and watch all these guys play and compete with that I feel I belong in from a skill level, that I should be over there based on skill alone and not be allowed to compete and have to be playing with, you know, people that are just in a, you know, they're not at my level. Again, not trying to sound cocky, but it just is what it is. And not get anything out of it. You know, you go to a smoke session, it's 10 a.m. until 2-ish. And if you don't feel like you've improved at all, why? Why did you go? You know, versus the couple sessions I've had with Rebels, you know, it's been, you know, 2 hours and I've gotten more out of it than I would have at a smoke session with four people when they have 30, because it's the quality of the session. It's working on specific drills. And yeah, you can't have a full on scrimmage, but you know, as we proved at Pink Bowl, you don't necessarily need to have a scrimmage to get better. We did it by a Zoom call, showed up, and then shocked the world. So as long as you have quality players, you know, they're going to be okay. But in general, I miss my friends. I miss my friends from Smoke. But I don't miss the system. I'm happy to be away from that system. It's like if you're at a job that's a toxic environment, and you know, you're not appreciated at your job for all the efforts that you put in. You grind, you try and make yourself better, you try and put in better work, and you're not getting anything out of it. And then another job comes and they say, hey, we've got this other opportunity doing the same thing you do, but we're going to pay you better and we're going to treat you better. Why wouldn't you leave? Even if it's less money, if it makes you happier, why wouldn't you leave? And if it pays you better and you're going to be happier, definitely you should leave. And that's kind of the way I looked at it. It was just, you know, it's a new opportunity. It's going to be a grind, but I have full confidence with, you know, the fact that the skill that, you know, I have and Kenny has, Chris has, Will has, that it's going to be a struggle. But once we get rolling, we're going to win some games. Then we'll start doing some recruiting, and you know, we'll find some people out of the rough. You know, I'm as I walk through parks, if I see somebody athletic, I'm going to go up and say hi. See if they know what American football is and drag them down to a training session. We will find players. So anyone who's listening that's in BAFA, don't worry. I'm not going to start calling your players and saying, hey, come Jet and come to Rebels. You know, but I think at this point with, you know, all my announcements on Facebook, on Instagram, people know, you know, what I'm doing and where I'm at. If they're interested, they can DM me. I'll be happy to tell them more about the team and what we're trying to do.
Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Been really, 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 really insightful, really, really interesting. We obviously always like to talk to you, and you're always welcome back. But audience, from me, it's been Jay Ballamy, joined by Matt Burke, and special guest Brian Tabor. Thank you very much. We'll catch you next time.
That wraps up this episode. Find us on Facebook at First and 15 Podcast. Give us a like to keep up with all of our shows. Also, check out our sponsor, Nuola, for all your customized sportswear supplies.